Wipe those tears from your lovely face, baby. Wave to the man in the old red caboose before all hell breaks loose. Before you go, I wish you'd come. Before you leave, wish you loved me some. I'll give you all of the dreams you can give before all hell breaks loose. Now I know what the gypsy meant when she told me you'll never be president. She said, adopt a Korean, kill your moose before all hell breaks loose. You poked fun at my cowboy shoes. You said they look just like big canoes. Well, it's time for the chosen ones to choose before all hell breaks. Turn out the lights, honey. Turn on the news. God save the queen and the kangaroo. And what kind of rubbers did Joseph use before all hell broke loose? Time to resign from the human race. Wipe those tears from your lovely face, baby. Wave to the man in the old red caboose before all hell breaks loose. Guinness, the drink that kept the Irish from taking over the world. Now shifted to tequila, Mexican mouthwash, as I call it. We have our own brand of tequila in Texas, Kinky Friedman's Man in Black Tequila. Now, Man in Black salutes Zorro, Lash LaRue, Paladin, and Johnny Cash. You guys know who Paladin was? Let's try that. Help me out with this. Let's see. And God will travel, reads a card of a man. A knight without armor in a foreign land. His fast gun for hire greets the calling wind. A soldier of fortune is the man called Paladin. Paladin, Paladin, where? This is a gay bar, isn't it? Paladin, Paladin, far, far from home. Good and strong. That's good. Man in Black likes to say that this is not your father's tequila. This is your grandfather's gardener's tequila. And I personally call it the Barry Manilow drink because it makes you feel good for a short period of time. This next song just sort of wrote itself one night. I don't even think I was at home at the time. But it's taken from the sponsor of the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville called the Nashville Life and Casualty Insurance Company. And in a brilliant stroke, one night when I was so high, I needed a stepladder to scratch my ass. I twisted the title from Nashville Life and Casualty to Nashville Casualty and Life. And this is the resulting song. In faded gabardine, he used to stand down by the Union Station with that old hat in his hand. A banjo picking devil, a singing ragtime saint. The young folks called him beautiful, and the old folks called him quaint. And the station master pointed to the sign, and they busted him for loitering when he was making memories wrong. Out in the falling snow he'd sing his song to a world too cold to listen and too white to sing along. Just a Nashville casualty in life. To his wife, you find him strumming around the corner all the time. And most of Music City never saw the world within the song of a Nashville casualty. Sets a dusty hat and cane, and the kids, they found a banjo there, all rusted from the rain. I strummed a little rusty ragtime beat, and I sang for every soul out on the street. I could almost see him standing in the rain, his black and blinded face reflecting all the pain of all the time and people passing by, and all the ringing memories that can make a banjo cry. Just a Nashville casualty in life. It's a riff that's held to play. Sings for you living on the street, and Lord, you sleeps in the back of some cafe. And most of Music City never sees the world within the song of a Nashville casualty. Well, folks, I'm 69 years old. Well, thank you very much. If I can reach one person. But I read at the 71-year-old level. Got my last will and testament all worked out. When I die, it's worked out. The last will and testament is now with a very reputable Texas law firm of Goldberg, Schwartz, and Deal Killer. And when I die, I'm to be cremated. And the ashes are to be thrown in Rick Perry's hair. Now, Rick's the governor of Texas.
Should be you.
I was showing some folks around Austin recently, some out-of-state people. One of them said, man, that's a beautiful picture, a beautiful statue of Rick Perry that you all put up there. And I said, that is Rick Perry. Actually, Willie Nelson gave me some very good advice before I got into politics in 2005 when we ran for, I ran for governor of Texas as an independent. And we won that race every place but Texas. Anyway, Willie's advice to me went like this. He said, if you're going to have sex with an animal, always make it a horse. Because that way, if things don't work out, at least you know you've got a ride home. That served me well in politics. Left Barber College, searching for knowledge, went to the university. I must confess, sir, this lady professor, she turned me on anthropology. Now I'm a homo erector, got to connect this bone that I discovered yesterday. Tyrant of Sawyers, lived in the forest, died because his heart got in the way. Dear Dr. Howard, come down from your tower and join me for lunch at the Y. Although you're 30, I still think you're pretty. Let's do it. That good old college try. I'm all erected. Got to connect this bone that I discovered yesterday. Tyrannosaurus lived in the forest, died because his heart got in the way. Hey, Jomo Kenyatta, no, no, you're not a Australopithecine boogeyman. Took us a jillion, but we all still here been boogieing since boogieing. Lived in the forest, died because his heart got in the way. Send us out to Julia this evening. Cheap hotel in Dallas on a cold December day, a telegram was traveling on its way like a sad old song from somewhere in the distance of a dream, flashing across the darkness on the telegraph machine. It said from Billy at the bottom, baby, at the top of Western Union wire, please help me stop. Western Union wire, don't leave me stop. Well, the taxi cab, it took her to the airport in the dawn. She knew in just 1 hour she'd be gone. She was standing near the platform, about to board the big Pan Am, when someone came and put the lonely message in her hand. It said for Billy at the bottom to maybe at the top of Western Union Wire. Please help me start Western Union Wire. Don't leave me. Just a reaching for the skies, she found herself with teardrops in her eyes, and a little boy beside her asked her, "Mama, where is Pa?" And she just broke down and cried, 'cause she knew she couldn't stop. It said from Billy at the bottom, maybe at the top of Western Union Wire. Don't leave me stop. You said you'd always love me. How could you stop? In pieces on the runway. The year was 1976. I was touring with Bob Dylan. And you all have heard of Bob Dylan? Well, that was 1976, yeah, the Rolling Thunder Review. And Bob gave everybody a break for a month in L.A., so we were hanging out. And I went to the Troubadour music bar there. And there was, I think I was drinking one night, and I think I was drinking Diet Hemlock. And a guy comes in with a straw riverboat gambler cowboy hat, and he's got these little red sideburns and a little red beard, and red facial hair and red pubic hair. And the guy, I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, this guy's one of these Texas singer-songwriters, but I'm not sure which one he is. It could have been Butch Hancock, it could have been the late great Rusty Weir, could have been Ray Wiley Hubbard. I just didn't know it. And of course the guy makes a beeline right for me, and he says, "Kingster, let me buy you a round." And he sits down next to me. So he buys a round, he buys another round, we're talking, and I'm trying to figure out who the hell he is. And he's very friendly and intimate, and he knows me. So after about an hour and a half, we go into the men's room, and he breaks out a long line of Peruvian marching powder. We snort. And we come back to the bar, and we're drinking for another hour. So, and we've now really passed the point where I can comfortably ask him who it is. But I was having a crisis of conscience as well. And I wanted the truth. So it might hurt his feelers a little bit, but I wanted the truth. So at one point I turns to him and I says, "Look, pal, I really hate to do this, but what is your name?" And he says, "Eric Clapton." And that was actually how I met Eric Clapton. And 2 weeks later, he played Sly Dobro on this song. Now, this song being the first song I ever wrote when I was just 11 years old. And if you know this little booger, be sure and help us out. It's a children's song. Anybody bring their kids tonight? Yes, you did, Mark. That's right. Adult children do qualify. No, another one's around. Because one thing about the Kingster. Dexter, I never like to say fuck in front of a C-H-I-L-D. Old man Lucas had a lot of mucus coming right out of his nose. He'd pick and pick till it made you sick, but back again it grows. 11 years old when I wrote the damn thing. When it's cotton picking time in Texas, always it's booger picking time for men. He raised that finger bean in hospital, stick it in that waiting nostril. Here he comes with a green one once again. Old man Lucas had a lot of mucus coming right out of his nose. He'd pick and pick till it made you sick, but back again it grows. Once more, old man Lucas had a lot of mucus coming right out of his nose. He'd pick and pick till it made you sick, but back again it grows. One more time, old man Lucas had a lot of mucus coming right out of his nose. He'd pick and pick till it made you sick, but back again it grows. Once more, old man Lucas had a lot of mucus coming right out of his nose. He'd pick and pick till it made you sick, but back again it grows. I'll send this out to the memory and the music of Levon Helm. Ain't you the golden boy of a silver screen? Your mama's pride and joy, the promoter's dream. No time for autographs, sailing boats or trains. No time for dreams to last. Gotta catch that plane. One magic midnight show, she taught you how it feels. Once so long ago, when rock and roll was real. Turn on words you hear are mine. Should have told you long ago, but I never had the time. Send this out to Mike and April. Mike, that's how you pronounce it? No, Mark. Mike. That sounds like a mating call of the esoteric Australian bird. Mike. Now, Mark, this sounds like the way my relatives used to talk up in Skokie. They said, "Man," and people in Chicago talk, "Man." Jesus, my finger's bleeding. Having, what do you call that?
Igmana?
what's going to happen to it. Joseph Heller's favorite song was They Ain't Making Jews Like Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Joseph Heller.
And about 12 years ago, maybe 15 years, I don't remember, but I did a book tour of South Africa, and I did a Dolly Tombo show, which is a television show, a big show up there. And Dolly Tombo's father was Oliver Tombo, who was Nelson Mandela's mentor. And on the show was a guy named Tokyo Sesuale, spelled sex whale. Tokyo was a really good guy. He pulled me aside during a commercial break and he said, you know, Kinky, you may not believe this, but Mandela is a big fan of yours. And I says, you're kidding. I said, which, is it the books or what? He says, it's not the books at all. It's the music. And he said, the thing was, we were on Robben Island for 17 years, and I was in the cell next to Mandela. And now, Sesuale is Mandela's right-hand man. It was for many years. But he says, from that vantage point, I can tell you that we could only smuggle in cassette tapes. And we couldn't get whatever is the current, you know, all that stuff. But Mandela played your first album particularly. He played two songs, Ridin' Jew Boy and Song American. And he said he played those songs hundreds and hundreds of times. I'll vouch for that, he said. And you were not his number one favorite. His number one favorite was Dolly Parton. You were the second favorite. So there you go. And then again, there is the page that I borrowed from Bob Dylan. Who, you know, Bob will take the same damn song, like Maggie's Farm, and he'll tweak it and change the lyrics and the music. For 55 years, it's still Maggie's Farm, but it'll change it around. So I've done that as well. And I've tweaked an old song of mine, and the new title is Waitress, Please Waitress, Come Sit on My Facebook. So anybody, and if we kind of keep it at a cosmic level, you could figure out, knowing what you know, who this song, what famous person would like this, would this be his favorite Kinky Friedman song? Who am I talking about? That's exactly right. Bill Clinton. Yeah. First time out of the chute, that's right. This is Bill. Anybody sing along with the Texas style? It is Waitress, Please Waitress, Come Sit on My Fate. The towns are Dallet, Alton, and Yeadon. And as a proud Red Sea pedestrian, I can tell you that in Texas, when anybody uses the word Jewish, it's always with one syllable. For instance, Steve Jeeves. And then when they say the word Jew, it's usually multiple syllables, like, she married a Jew. Or my favorite Filipino cocktail waitress in Las Vegas, who one day saw the star David, and she said, you Jewish! Goes out to Mark and April. Well, I pulled into Dallas on a cold December day for coffee and a donut at the Grease and Spoon Cafe. Spied me a pretty young waitress standing by a tray, but you couldn't believe her sweet young ears on the waitress her they say. Oh, waitress, please waitress, come sit down. Eat and cheat, Lord, it ain't no disgrace. Walk off, bring me a lone star, make it okay. Waitress, please, waitress, come face. Well, I walks up to the jukebox feeling kind of mean. The waitress said, "Hey, stupid, that's a cigarette machine." Well, if you hear the young waitress, would you care to make a bet? And if I'm there ain't a jukebox, you can smoke my cigarette. Oh, waitress, please, waitress, come sit on my face. Eat, ain't cheap. Lord, it ain't no disgrace. Well, bring me a long story and make it a cake. Waitress, please, waitress, come sit on my face. You're the prettiest thing in Dallas, is Dallas your home? No, I come all the way from you, and I feel so all alone. I used to live in Alton, then I moved up to Big D in hopes to get my big break on national TV. Honey, I think I have what it takes to make you a very big star way out there in Hollywood. Choo, 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 bug. But first, whoa, waitress, please, waitress, come sit on my face. Eat, ain't cheap. Lord, it ain't no disgrace. Wow, bring me a long star, make it a okay. Cake. Waitress, 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 sit on my face. Three areas of interest. They are music, drugs, and golf. And in one respect, I saw him when he got busted about 2 years ago, coming across from Mexico on the bus. I saw him that afternoon, and he looked terrible. I mean, he looked like he just lost 6 ounces. And later that evening, I saw something I'll never forget, which is Willie Nelson in handcuffs, signing autographs for law enforcement personnel. But as far as golf goes, I have no interest in golf. I don't play the game. I'm not interested in it. And the only two good balls I ever hit was when I stepped on the garden rink. Willie did tell me one golf story that I thought was rather enlightening. There was a woman that had come off of his golf course outside of Austin recently, and she was complaining that she'd been stung by a bee. And the golf pro asked her, "Where did it sting you?" And she says, "Between the first and second holes." And the doctor says, "Well, I can tell you right now, your stance is too wide." So the year was 1973, and I was playing with the Texas Jew Boys at the University of Buffalo in upstate New York. And we were about halfway through the show when a group of, cranked up lesbians attacked the stage. And the song we were singing was "Get Your Biscuits in the Oven and Your Bones in the Bed," which was a popular tune of the day. Anyway, these women began wrecking the equipment and fighting with the Jew Boys. And they were winning. So the campus cops were called and they gave us a protective escort off the campus. And a few months later, I received the Male Chauvinist Pig of the Year Award in 1973 from the National Organization for Women, an award that I'm still very proud of. Anyway, here's this one.
You uppity women, I don't understand why you gotta go and try to have one friend. But before you make your weekly visit to the shrink, you better occupy the kitchen, liberate the sink, get your biscuits in the oven and your bones in bed. That's what I to my lady said. Woman's liberation, it's going ahead. Get your biscuits in the oven and your bones in bed. Early every morning you're out on the street, passing out the pamphlets to everyone you meet. You gave up your maiden form for Lent. Now the front of your dress has an air scoop in. Every single great man is ever come along. Had a little woman always telling him he's wrong. Eve said to Adam, here's an apple you haunt. And he lied at the foliated senses, mom. Get your biscuits in the oven and your bones in the bed. That's what I did, my lady said. Woman's liberation, it's going ahead. Get your biscuits in the oven and your bones in the bed. Mean-minded harpies are breaking all the laws, tearing up the girls and burning up their bras. Now the air is dirty and the sex is clean. And your coffee makes my hair turn green. So damn emancipated in your mind and your body. Don't have to cancel all your lessons in karate. If you can't love a male chauvinist, you better cross me off your shopping list. Get your biscuits in the oven and your bones in the bin. That's what I do, my lady said. Woman's liberation is a going ahead. Get your biscuits in the oven and your bones in the bed.
Well, folks, all a bipolar tour is, I think we're out of the bipolar CDs. We've got Lost and Found back there, left, and just a handful of They Ain't Making Jews Like Jesus Anymore, and other humorous songs. But Lost and Found is a 43-year-old reel-to-reel recording made by the Jew Boys on our ranch in Texas to play for record executives in Los Angeles. And we found this thing in a chest in the home of my old college roommate, Chinga Chapin, the man who wrote Proud to Be an Asshole from El Paso. And he also wrote a rather poignant ballad called Cum Stains on the Pillow Where Your Sweet Head Used to Be. So this is, I think, a real archaeological find of a sort. And, of course, I will sign anything but bad legislation. So, let's see how that out there. So, just a little word about the bipolar thing. It's Willie's idea, and what it is you never take a day off. And you keep working until you're running on pure adrenaline. And you have an almost Judy Garland-like rapport with your and that happened in Europe. I did 34 shows in 36 days in 7 countries. We did Sweden, Norway, England, Ireland, Scotland. In Glasgow, at the at St. Andrew's Cathedral. In the portico, on the portico, is carved this passage. We all are weary travelers along life's dusty way. If any man can play the flute, in God's name, let him play. Now, this usually produces the effect of the audience going into a diabetic coma. Tonight it looked more as if the people were hit by a hammer, you know.
After England, Ireland, Scotland, I did a show in Germany and two in Austria. Now, as you may know, the Germans are my second favorite people. My first is everybody else. But it's just not true to say that the Germans don't have a sense of humor. Woody Allen, who was Woody Guthrie's little brother, was interviewed by a reporter, and the reporter asked him, how come the Germans don't have a sense of humor? And Woody says, because they killed all their comedians. Now, it's not quite true, is it? When I did an actual tour of Germany some years ago, I can never remember how many, 12, 13, 15 years ago, 12 years ago, say. We did a bunch of cities in Germany, and the last gig was in Hamburg. And the next night, we were supposed to be in Paris. So we had this road manager, who was about 24 years old, German kid, funny as hell, very witty guy. And I asked him, I said, how far is it from Hamburg to Paris? And he says, it's probably about a 5-day march. Then we went to Austria, which I highly recommend. The whole country looks like The Sound of Music. And yet, if you stop any Austrian and ask them, they never heard of the Van Trapp family singers. Never heard of them. I sang a little bit of Edelweiss. I said, never heard of them. But I will tell you one thing. At one point, in the space of 30 minutes, we drove through Austria. In 30 minutes, we passed Mozart's birthplace, Hitler's birthplace, and Arnold Schwarzenegger's birthplace. The evolution of man. Okay, I will send this out to Liz this evening in time for a little religious song. Because it is, I think it's Hanukkah, and also, don't forget, folks, get a CD, I'll sign it for somebody. It makes a great gift for Hanukkah or Christmas. Or Christmas. Go out to Liz. I saw a picture yesterday in a men's room near LA. Lying on the floor beside the throne. And when I recognize the cross, I might have failed to know the boss. I thought, Lord, you look neglected and alone. I picked it up with love and care. I wondered who had placed it there. And then I saw there was no paper on the road. I said, Lord, what would you do if you were me and I were you? Take a chance, save your past or your soul. And the voice said, Kiki, this is Jesus. I got these pictures everywhere, from Sydney on to the Frisco Bay, baby. So Sonny, if you're hung up on the pot, feel free to use my favorite shot. I saw a picture yesterday in a man's room near LA. I saw a picture yesterday in a metro near LA. Hey, hey.
favorite American hero, and that would have to be the Native American Ira Hayes, who raised the flag after the Battle of Iwo Jima in the Pacific Theater of World War II. Now, I would have included him in the book Heroes of a Texas Childhood, except he ain't from Texas, he's from Arizona. This song was written by Peter LaFarge, another Native American who died by his own hand later that same year in New York City. The song's been recorded by Towns Van Zandt and Johnny Cash and Patrick Skye, who is a Native American singer that I really liked his version of this many years ago. Now, it is Thanksgiving season in America. I know you don't celebrate that particular holiday, but I doubt if many of you could know the Native American Thanksgiving prayer. And if you don't know it, it goes like this. Thanks for nothing. And that is the true story of the Ballad of Ira Hayes.
Thanks
for nothing. Gather around me, people. A story I will tell. About a brave young Indian lad you should remember well. From a tribe of Pima Indians. They farmed the Phoenix Valley out in Arizona land. Down the ditches for 1,000 years the sparkling water rushed, till the white man stole their water rights and the running water hushed. Ira's folks was hungry, their fields grew thick with weeds. But when war came, Ira volunteered and forgot the white man's greed. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not that whiskey drinking Indian or Marine who went to war. Iwo Jima Hill, 250 men. Of it, only 27 lived to walk back down again. And after the fight was over, an old glory proudly raised. Among the men who held her high was an Indian. All alone.
2 inches of water, and along the ditch was a grave for Ira Hay. Call him drunken Ira Hay. He won't answer anymore. Not that whiskey drinking Indian. These are 23 heroes of mine, and when I finished this book and showed it to a bunch of college kids in Texas from universities all across the state, I was shocked to see that none of those kids knew who Barbara Jordan was. Barbara Jordan was the first black congressperson there from the South. None of them knew who Audie Murphy was, who was the most decorated soldier in World War II, and so forth. So they did not know upon whose shoulders they stood. And I don't doubt that's true here in Australia, too, amongst young people. So I vowed right then that if I ever am governor of Texas, this book will be mandatory reading in the public school. The story I'm going to read is about my own father. My dad died 12 years ago. The story is kept in the present tense, and it's probably a good thing to keep everyone you love in the present tense as long as you possibly can. This is called Tom Friedman, the Navigator. Because I'm the oldest living Jew in Texas who doesn't own real estate. And given my status in general as a colorful character, there are those who profess to be surprised that I ever indeed had a father or a mother. I assure you, I had both. For many years, my parents owned and directed Echo Hill Ranch, a summer camp near Kerrville where I grew up, or maybe just got older. I remember my dad, Tom Friedman, talking to all the campers on Father's Day in the dining hall after lunch. Each summer, he'd say essentially the same words. For those of you who are lucky enough to have a father, now's the time to remember him and let him know that you love him. Write a letter home today. Many years have passed since I last heard Tom's message to the campers, but love, I suppose, has no sell-by date. When my father was a young boy, growing up in the Chicago of the late 20s, his first job was working for a Polish peddler. A man had a horse and cart that was loaded up with fruits and vegetables, and Tom sat on the very top. Through the streets and alleys of the old West Side they'd go, with a peddler crying his wares in at least 5 languages, and my father running the purchases up to the housewives who lived on the top floors of the tenement buildings. There were trolley cars then, clotheslines strung across city alleys like medieval banners. My father still remembers the word the peddler seemed to cry out more than any other. The word was kartoffel. It is Polish for potato. In November 1944, my mother, Minnie, gave birth to me in a manger somewhere on the south side of Chicago. I lived there 1 year, couldn't find work, and moved to Texas. I haven't worked since. In all this time, my father was far away fighting for his country and his wife and a baby boy he might never see. Tom was a navigator in World War II, flying a heavy bomber for the 8th Air Force. The old B-24, also known as the Liberator, which in time it was. Tom's plane was called the I've Had It. He flew 35 successful missions over Germany, the last occurring on November 9th, 1944, 2 days after he'd learned that he was a brand new father. As the navigator, the responsibility fell to him to bring the 10-man crew back safely. In retrospect, it's not terribly surprising that fate and the powers that be had selected Tom to be the navigator. He was the only one aboard the I've Had It who possessed a college degree. He was also the oldest man on the plane. He was 23 years old. After each successful mission, it was the custom to paint a small bomb on the side of the plane. In the rare instance of shooting down an enemy plane, a swastika was painted. When one incoming crew, however, accidentally hit a British runway maintenance worker, a small teacup was painted on the side of the plane. Practically engendering an international incident. Tom was a hero in what he still refers to as the last good war. For his efforts, he received the Distinguished Flying Cross and the Air Medal with 3 oak leaf clusters and the heartfelt gratitude of the crew. Yet the commanding officer's first words to Tom and his young compatriots had not been wrong. The CO told them, look at the man on your left and look at the man on your right. When you return, he'd said, they will not be here. This dire prophecy proved to be almost correct. The mighty 8th suffered a grievous attrition rate during the height of the war. Like most true war heroes, Tom rarely talks about the war. My sister, Marcy, once saw Tom sitting alone in a darkened room and asked, is everything all right, Father? To this, Tom replied, the last time everything was all right was August 14th, 1945. That was the day Japan surrendered. On a recent trip to O'Hare Airport in Chicago, I commandeered a limo and drove through the area where Tom had grown up. There were slums and suburbs and Starbucks, but the trolley cars and the clotheslines and the peddler with his horse and cart were gone. Kartoffel, I said to the limo driver, but he just looked straight ahead. Either he wasn't Polish, or he didn't want any potatoes. Today, Tom lives in Austin with his new wife, Edith Kruger, and his 2 dogs, Sam and Perky. He has 3 children and 3 grandchildren. He eats lunch at the Frisco, still plays tennis with his old pals. He did not, as he contends, teach me everything I know. Only almost everything. He taught me tennis, he taught me chess, he taught me how to belch. He taught me to always stand up for the underdog. He taught me the importance of treating children like adults, and adults like children. He is a significant American because by his example, his spirit, and his unseen hand, he's guided children of all ages safely through the winding, often torturous courses of their lives. One of them was me. Tom's war is long over. Indeed, the whole era seems gone, like the crews who never came home, lost forever among the salt shaker stars. And yet, when the future may look its darkest, there sometimes occurs an oddly comforting moment when, with awkward grace, the shadow of a silver plane flies inexplicably close to my heart. One more mission for the Navigator. I thank you kindly. Just a ragged kid in overalls. He thumped a ride one day. Told me anywhere you're going is on my way. But as we passed by Big Al's driveway, his eyes began to flash. He was leaving Rapid City mighty fast. He said, I hope to God she finds the goodbye letter that he wrote her. But the mail on moves so fast and rapid, silly South Dakota. Now we left her just a blanket of snow upon the farm. That don't keep your conscience very warm. He said his friends were too darn country, and his pa was too damn mean, and there weren't no money gasoline. And her gentle eyes, the merchandise of dreams, the peddler sold her, who left her there alone in Rapid City, South Dakota. And now the reason he was going, I ain't sure I could say. Might have been the rodeo in Santa Fe. There's a doctor in Chicago, I know she'll be alright. He told himself as he stared into the night. He said, I hope to God she finds the goodbye letter that I wrote her. But the mail don't move so fast and rapid, City, South Dakota. And all her people treating her just like they never know her. And the birds passing slow in Rapid City. South Dakota.
A genius audience to make a genius performance every time. And I just wanted to remind you, afterwards we'll be back over there and meet everybody. And if you are driving this evening, folks, don't forget your car.
folks, this getting up here and performing is a little bit harder for me than it is for most entertainers and artists. And it's kind of an intimate evening. I can share this with you, I think. I was molested by a rodeo clown when I was a young child. Right, I was 27 years old. What's it to you? At any rate, the term political correctness was coined by Joseph Stalin, and it is getting across to Australia, believe me. But it's already really, making its mark in America in such a big way that if George Carlin and Richard Pryor were young comics today trying to make it in America, I don't think they would. And I don't think Lenny Bruce would, or maybe, well, it was arguable whether Lenny did in the first one. But Mel Brooks wouldn't make it. We could never make the movie Blazing Saddles again in America, anything like that. So it's not a good thing. And I just thank the Lord that at least we still have this song. Well, redneck nerd in a bowling shirt with a glove and long scarf here. Talking religion and politics for all the world to hear. They ought to send you back to Russia, boy, or New York City one. You just want to doodle a Christian girl and you kill God's only son. I said, has it occurred to you, you nerd, that that's not very nice? We Jews believed it was Santa Claus that killed Jesus Christ. You know, you don't look Jewish, she said. Near as I could figure, I had you lamped for a slightly anemic, well-dressed country nigger. Tall and thinking Jews like Jesus said, Lord.
Singing as I strolled right out the door. Oh.
can be very comforting words. Unless you hear them in a Mexican prison. Children, a story I will tell about pretty boy Floyd the Outlaw. Oklahoma knew him well. Twas in the town of Shawnee on a Saturday afternoon, with his wife beside him in a wagon. He was in the town he rode. A deputy sheriff called him in a manner rather rude, using vulgar words of language, and his wife she overheard. Pretty boy grabbed a long chain, the deputy grabbed a gun, and in the fight that followed, he laid that deputy down. He took to the woods and timbers, he lived a life of shame. Every crime in Oklahoma, they laid him to his name. He took to the river bottoms on your North Canadian shore, and many a starving farmer opened up his door. boy David Morgan, and he saved their little home. They tell about a stranger who came to beg a meal, and underneath his napkin left $1,000 bill. In Oklahoma City, it was on Christmas Day, a whole wagon load full of groceries, and a note on which it said, "You say that I'm an outlaw, or you say that I'm a thief. Well, here's a Christmas dinner for your family's own relief." With a six gun and some with a fountain pen, but as through your lives you ramble, boys, as through your lives you roam, you'll never see an outlaw drive a family. let heaven's golden grain throw your soul away.
Cheers, thank you.